Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is a verse in prose. So we will just read it along. Sri Sukhavacha Bharatasyatmaja Sumatir Namabito Yam Uhava Vakichit Pakandinarisava Padavin Anuvartamam Chanarya Veda Samam Natam Devatam Swamanishyata Piyasya Kalokal Payasyante. Translation. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Risabdev, but some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddha Dev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental compunction. Purport. Those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles, but in this age of Kali, a community has sprung up known as the Arya Samaj, which is ignorant of the import of the Vedas in the Parampara system. Their leaders decry of all bona fide acharyas, and they pose themselves as the real followers of the Vedic principles. These acharyas who do not follow the principles are presently known as the Arya Samajas, or the Jains. Not only do they not follow the Vedic principles, they have no relationship with Lord Buddha. Imitating the behavior of Sumati, they claim to be the descendants of Risabdev. Those who are Vaishnavas carefully avoid their company because they're ignorant of the path of the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vedaista Sarvaraham Vyalu, the real purpose of the Vedas is to understand me. This is the injunction of all Vedic literatures. One who does not know the greatness of Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as an Aryan. Lord Buddha, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists. Atheists do not want any god, and Lord Buddha therefore said, that there is no God. But he adopted the means to instruct his followers for their benefit. Therefore he preached in a duplicitous way, saying there is no God. Nonetheless, he himself was an incarnation of God. So we can see that even in the Puranic age, in the time when Vedic culture was predominant, that there were deviations and that there were speculations and misunderstandings of the philosophy and groups that split off and started their own movement. So we have seen the same in modern times. Many splits came also of ISKCON. And of course, some remained faithful to the ideology and to the teachings, and they only split because of institutional disagreements. But others also adopted a different philosophy. And then, as it is mentioned in the purports to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says, they become asara, immediately useless. Just like we see a split described amongst the sons of Advaita Acharya. A number of the sons of Advaita Acharya were stating that not Lord Chaitanya, but Advaita Acharya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a whole branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism developed like with that conviction. Is of course considered an apasampradaya. So many. Also, there was Radharaman, Chakravarti, who initially, residing in Puri, was friendly with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but then later on began to preach a concocted philosophy and introduced a mantra, Nitaigor Radhisham Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which then was chanted, and also and now is widely spread, and in Puri and Bengal and in Vrindavan, and it happens to be our neighbors, the Krishna Balaram temple. Prabhupada was saying, yes, we can chant Nitaigor Radhisham Jai Krishna Balaram, since these are our deities. But Prabhupada also explained that, yes, they get some taste, some ecstasy, because they chant Nitai Gaur. And by chanting the names of Nitai Gaur, there is a taste. There is some ecstasy. He said, but the true understanding of the Pancha Tattva is found in the mantra Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Pravanichananda Siyadvaita Gadara Sivasavi Gaur Bhakti Vinda. Because there, panchatattvamakam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhakta avataram bhakta kyam namami bhakta shaktikam. There, there is a relationship established. Lord Chaitanya is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Narayana. He is no different from Radha and Krishna. Lord Nityananda, Nitai, is Balaram. Nityananda Balaram. He is no different from Balaram. But Radharaman Chakravarti propagated the philosophy that Nitai Gaur were Radha and Krishna. So he said, like, whoa, that's serious, misunderstanding. So we see that many full of devotion are unfortunately following a path that is a concoction. Therefore, we must be very careful. Therefore, the song is not Prabhupada Lokirajivana. That is a concoction, and it's not allowed. It sounds very nice. Lokena lokera jivana, Prabhupada lokera. Who said that? Which acharya made those lines? Which acharya? Not Narottama Das Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur said lokena lokera jivana. And we sing Prabhupada Lokera Jivana. Why? Because we are concocting. And then one generation concocts, and then the next generation takes it as the standard. And in this way, over time, we change things. So, no change. Not allowed. Prabhupada, no. It is just Lokera Jivana. We take shelter of Narottama Thakur's. So, not that we take or Namo Nama Tulasi Krishna Prayasi, and then what is it? What do they do in Mayapur? Ami. They put a few Amis in there, you know. Where are these Amis coming from? Ami Kichine? Kebun Chami? Keno Ami? Why is this Ami coming in? What is it? What do they do? You know it. Somewhere, Nayan Hiribhufa. Ami Nayan, I don't know exactly how they do it. Yeah, but that's not how they do it. He knows the trick. First there's the bhajas. Yeah? Where do these bhajas come from? Bhaja Radha Krishna Seva Pava. Where's this bhaja? Where's this bhaja? Bhaja Pavana? No, deko, kuno bhaja nahi. This is an addition, is actually concoction. What can I say? You may think, well, you know, what's the problem with a little bhaja maharaj? Ektu bhaja to bhagavashe. We like it so much. Some bhaja, what is the problem? No problem. Yeah, today it's a bhaja and tomorrow it's something else. Right? And gradually, the bhajas of the acharyas have changed. Prabhupada said, the words of the acharyas are as good as scripture. The word of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottama Thakur are as good as scripture. So, you know, when there is the story of Arjuna Acharya. Arjuna Acharya was writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And then he came to the verse Ananyas Chintiyantamam Yedana Paripasate Te Samicha Yuktanam Yogiksen Vahamyaham. And when he came to this verse, when he saw Yogiksen Vahamyaham, this is the verse where I'll carry what you lack and preserve what you have. I will personally, Yogiksen Vahamyaham, basically, I will personally do it. So, when Arjuna Acharya was thinking about this verse, that cannot be the meaning. Krishna does these things through his agents. He makes these arrangements. He arranges everything in this world through his agents. And so it must be a mistake in the manuscript, because many mistakes crept into the manuscripts. They were hand copied, and sometimes there was a spelling mistake. So he thought, no, it must be. I don't think it's yoga ksema vahamyam. I think it's yoga karomi. Must be. So he changed it. Then, as every day, he went to the market to purchase fresh vegetables, and then bring that home, and then his wife would prepare the lunch and so on. So this time he went to the market, and while he was in the market purchasing things, two boys came to the house, and they came to the door, and they had a big bag with them, and his wife attended to the door. The boys said that they were delivering the bhoga, right, for cooking. So I said, oh yes, your husband has sent us. And two boys, one was a little darkish complexion, the other one lighter. And then she said, oh yes, such nice boys, come in. He said, oh no, we cannot come in. He said, no, you can come in for something. He said, no, we cannot come in, because your husband may come. I said, well, that's no problem. My husband is very nice, you know. You don't have to be afraid of my husband, right? He will not beat you. And then the dark boy said, oh no, he will not beat us. Just see. And then he turned around, and then there was a beating mark on his back. And she said, no, did my husband do that? So anyway, I mean, she was there and she had the bhoga. So out of routine, she just went into the kitchen, start cutting the vegetable, preparing things and cooking things. But meanwhile, she's so upset. My husband, how could he do such a thing? This is too much. The brute, this is outrageous. And she's getting more and more worked up. And in the end, she just cooked, and as every day, she offered everything. And then she even ate before her husband, which she never did. And then, you know, when the husband came home, he got the full treatment. You know, she was, you know, upset, extremely upset, and he said, like, well, what happens? And then she gave him a, you know very well. And that was it. And then she punished him by not speaking, and for some time, until finally he begged in humility, to whatever offense I've committed, please forgive me, you know. I'm dedicated to you only, and all that. Then she let him have it. How could you? How did you dare? How could you do such a brutal act to beat these boys? He goes, boys, what boys? And you know very well, don't play games with me now. You beat these boys. What boys are you talking about? Yes, the boys that you sent with the groceries. What groceries? I didn't send anyone with the groceries. Which boy? The dark one and the light one. And somehow or other, Arjuna Acharya then realized that dark and light, Krishna, Balaram, and he went to look at his manuscript, and he saw that the original, that the correction that he had made in the text was put back. And he realized, it is really Yogakshema Vahamyaham. It is really that Krishna is personally coming and personally making up for what is lacking in his devotees and preserving the good qualities that he has. So, this ancient story is a story that is illustrating how he just changed one word, and Krishna didn't like it. So we also, it is our duty to preserve things as they are. That is very important. That is our duty. No change. No change. Just preserve it as it is. That is our, yes, our duty. So in this way, in the retreat, the point came up about chastity, that a disciple must be chaste. Chastity means that. Don't change. Don't change what Krishna gave. Don't change what the Acharya gave. Just keep that. That is sacred. Cannot be touched. Cannot be touched. Even if it's nice. Bhaja. In the beginning also, the devotees, they put a little bhaja. They heard it in some place, maybe came from Bangladesh or something. Anyway, they did Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. You can hear it on the old tapes. And Prabhupada mixed it. No bhaja. No bhaja. When Prabhupada had, in other words, was concerned to safeguard the movement from changes. And Prabhupada knew very well that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many changes came up. There was a split in the family of Advaita Acharya. Then there was the Nityananda Vamsa and Advaita Vamsa, the Nityananda Parivar and the Advaita Parivar. So it is said Nityananda, of course, had a son, Virabhadra. So there are those that claim a family lineage to Lord Nityananda. And they are saying, we are the only rightful ones to act as guru. No one else, really. Only those who are directly in the Nityananda Vamsa can be guru. And then their disciples are Nityananda Parivar, the family, and the initiated disciples. So there is Nityananda Vamsa and Nityananda Parivar. In the same way, Advaita Vamsa, those who are directly in the Advaita lineage, and then Advaita Parivar, their disciples. And then a portion of them have this whole other thing, and they have books that describe how Advaita Acharya was the teacher of everyone. And that actually Nimai used to go and learn the real meaning of the Gita from Advaita Acharya. And that he would come there and be taught in classes. And such books are there. But the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is declared to be authorized, and Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is declared to be the reincarnation of Vyasadeva, he describes how it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who's revealing the import of the Bhagavad Gita to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was the teacher. He was a great Acharya, very powerful. And he was a teacher of Gita, and daily giving lectures, and people would come and listen, and he was trying to explain the Gita in a personal way. But then in the 13th chapter, there is a verse, Abhanipadam, which describes that I have many hands, many eyes, many feet, and I'm present everywhere. I'm all pervading. So it's like, God, you know. I mean, this seems to contradict, right? It seems to contradict the personal feature of Krishna. Right? So how to deal with this? You know, it's like an all-pervading, everywhere. It really looked like an impersonal verse. Advaita Acharya was breaking his head on this verse. And then Lord Chaitanya explained to him during the Mahaprakash Leela in Srivas's house, he explained to him the meaning of this verse. And he explained, the meaning of this verse is, it is referring to Paramatma. Paramatma is present in many, many forms in everyone's heart. Therefore, the Lord has these, and he's all pervading. He's everywhere. It's within every atom. So this verse refers to Paramatma. And we can read, if we look at Bhagavad Gita and we look at the commentaries of our acharyas, like Baladev Vijayabhusan, and we look at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, they will say, in this verse, it means Paramatma. Paramatma. You can find it. And it has its roots in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who instructed Advaita Acharya. And it is said that this was not the first time. Whenever Advaita Acharya was not completely sure about the meaning of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, then Lord Chaitanya would appear in a dream and would explain it to him. So, okay, that's the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the hierarchy is clearly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya being dependent on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in several other biographies that are coming out of the Advaita Parivar, these biographies are giving us the opposite. And now devotees start reading that. Ah, yes, some very interesting. They have some really new book, very interesting. No, this is not our business. Not our business. In one of those biographies, there is the whole thing about Guru Tattva and how ladies are acting as gurus. And certainly in the Gaudiya tradition, there were ladies that acted as gurus. Some famous ones, Ganga Goswamini or Hemalata Thakurani, the daughter of Srinivasa Acharya, and Ganga Goswamini was a princess from Rajshahi, now in Bangladesh. And she later went to Jagannath Puri. And she is undoubtedly a great devotee and so on. But then there is a story how after the departure of Advaita Acharya, his wife Sita Thakurani was approached by two male devotees who asked to be her disciples. And then it says in the book, she said, no, I cannot accept any male disciple. How can I accept male disciple? And it is said that then later these two males came back and they had changed into females. And Sita Thakurani personally verified that it was a fact. And then she initiated that. So what can we say? These things have are stories that are existing in the Advaita Parivar. Yeah. But they have no bearing in the bona fide biographies about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. But such stories proliferate and surface, and the internet is great. The internet is fantastic because the internet is this principle of cut and paste. And it has cut and paste everything, and it echoes very fast. Because, you know, every time you Google it, it comes up, and then the next person cuts and pastes it. And before you know it, the concoctions are on at least 10 websites, you know. Like, for example, another concoction is about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Oh, Kaviraj. Oh, Kaviraj, that means Vaidya. Kaviraj means Vaidya, means he was some doctor. Means he comes from a family of doctors. And yes, sure enough, they have the name of his father. They have the name of his mother and even his brother and all that, and aunties and uncles, and it's all concocted. Nothing like that is there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta cut it down. He cut it down. And he said that actually this is completely concocted. But there, there is this historical book, the Vaishnava Abhidhan, where these written by some Haridas, published in 1959 as a book on the Gaudiya history, and there you will find most of the information. It is an encyclopedia. Actually, he borrowed first the material that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to make an encyclopedia about our Gaudiya Vaishnavas called Vaishnava Manjusa. And then Haridas took the Vaishnava Manjusa notes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which were unfinished, and then he added so many things from many other sources that were not bona fide. And now the Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan is a book that, yes, we can find information there, but we must be careful. We must filter it, because it's not all pure. Some is bona fide, some is not, and one has to know it. So, like this, there is sometimes some information coming in. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, his parents are unknown. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained that actually he didn't get the title Kaviraj because he came in the family of a Vaidya, but he got it for writing the Gita Govinda. Before Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj completed his other major work. There are two major works that he wrote. One is the Gita Govinda and the other one is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And his Gita Govinda was completed before in Vrindavan, substantially before, easily 25 years earlier. And in that, and for that he got that title of Kaviraj, King of Poets, Kavi, and many. We have so many with that title Kaviraj, because they were great poets. Because they were great writers. So all this concoction is there, and it is sort of living a life of its own. We must be careful. Because by what seems innocent, we are gradually covering over our tradition, changing it a little bit, diminishing the position of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who is such an important personality, who is clearly one of the he's really you could say one of the principal authorities in our movement. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving us the not only the life and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the authorized way, but it also gives us the theology of our movement. So like this, this is what it means to be Brahman, right? To speak what is authorized. And that is important. So we see that it's interesting how some people don't like this. So this is not, when we have to get in this mood of rejecting Vaishnavas, find fault here and find fault there, this is not very nice, and we have to just accept everyone, and there's also that. But we see here that Bhagavatam is not soft. Bhagavatam is rejecting, is describing a split here, a schism. It's describing how a particular group deviated and is speaking in condemning words. And so does Prabhupada. They are described as being very sinful. So it is not like, a little speculation. No, it is condemned as sinful. What shall I say? It is our responsibility to be faithful and or to try and understand properly. And when we don't know, to just say, I don't know. As simple as that. Actually, I don't know. Not act like authority. Yeah. It's very important to know when to say, I don't know. Because many things we don't know. We don't know exactly. I mean, this philosophy is so vast. And even great acharyas sometimes have some differences of opinion. Like we see, there's this thing about the manvantaras, right? That in one day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. And each manu lives a period of 71 divya yugas. And that makes up 1,000, right? If you calculate it by 14, then you come exactly, you come to 1,000. So these 14 manus are rulers within the universe. They are, according to the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, residing in the higher planetary regions like the Jana Loka. The Jana Loka, Mahaloka, so above the heavenly planets are their residents. And they live for a very long time, and they have a great role in assisting Lord Brahma in managing universal affairs. So we have no idea that there are such rulers, but we are being ruled. And then at the end of these rulers, Sridhar Swami, the original Bhagavatam commentator, says sometimes there is a dissolution. Then Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur say, no, there always is a dissolution. Yeah. And then the topic comes up that there are sometimes disagreements between even great acharyas. And it said we should not take sides in these matters. Or we should not pass our own judgment when it means not take sides. Not that we take a judgment, well, I take the side of Vishwanath. No, we take the side of our own guru, simple like that. And our founder, Acharya, who is like setting the standard for us. So we're looking at these previous acharyas through the founder acharyas. Therefore it says when you look at all kinds of previous authorities, you go back through the parampara. You don't just directly look at the previous authority. No, you look through the current ones. So you look through your guru, through Prabhupada, who is our founder, who is the guru of all of us, to the previous acharyas. And then we can understand correctly. So if we see that Prabhupada says it's slightly different from a previous acharya, so okay, we note that difference, but at the same time we stay faithful to Prabhupada. So you can see the philosophy is so vast and so big that even on some detail there may be some differences of understanding, even amongst great acharyas. No problem. No problem. But we are careful to learn from the acharya. Yeah, that is our process. Okay. I don't often give a lecture on this topic of no speculation, no concoction. I don't usually get on the case of the devotees who start Tulsi Puja with Braja Radha Krishna Seva Pavo Eyabi Lasi. Usually I say nothing, but today I said, no bhaji, bhaji, cholchana, itamanudharm. Bhavaribhav, it is manudharm, what can I do? It is speculation. So, okay, I'm not like so much after everyone, but sometimes it's good to say this and to be aware of this. We don't want to become fanatic about it. Like when I was new in the Krishna consciousness movement, then there was a mood in the temple at that time, exactly very rigid In everything I did, someone would say, that's offensive. That's offensive. Everything I did was offensive. The whole day, I was offensive. So it was a little difficult. One time I was sleeping and they woke me up in the middle of the night. And they say, and I, the first thing I said, I know, I'm offensive. And I said, yes, you are, because a brahmachari doesn't sleep on his belly. I said, but I was sleeping. How did I know that I was sleeping on my belly? I'm sleeping. I didn't know. I said, oh, Prabhu, that's offensive. A brahmachari sleeps on his side. Okay. It is true. A brahmachari does sleep on his side. That is actually the standard. Yeah. Nowadays, I'm actually doing it. I think. I think I'm doing it. But sometimes, I also think that I'm not snoring. I don't share the room with someone. But when I would share the room with someone, then I would find out if it's really true. I think maybe sometimes I snore a little. Just a little. But not as bad as some. Anyway, so I don't want to create like a fanatic atmosphere amongst devotees where one is always on the case of the other and saying this is not right and so on. And where we start policing each other. That's not what I try to aim for. But we should know. We should know the standards. So any comments, any questions?
Yeah. I talk a point about Acharya's deterring on dissolution. And you said that we shouldn't take sides between the Acharya's to take sides of our group.
Yeah.
So what does Srila Prabhupada say?
Okay, we are on the side of Jiva Goswami. It's ultimately we are on the side of Jiva Goswami. Yes, there's a dissolution that Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because they are mature, you know, and they are dedicated servants of Sridhar Swami. If they sometimes on a detail find some quotes in some scripture, you know, which prove serious evidence that it's slightly different, then that's acceptable. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, like when Balabhacharya was pointing out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had written a commentary on Bhagavatam which was disagreeing with Sridhar Swami's, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear it and rejected it. So it's not our business to disagree with Sridhar Swami. Now, Sridhar Swami as a Bhagavatam commentator is an interesting personality, because Sridhar Swami, everyone claims that Sridhar Swami is on their side. The Mayavadis, they say Sridhar Swami is one of ours. And we are saying Sridhar Swami is one of ours. So there is a problem with the commentary of Sridhar Swami that everyone is claiming that he's on their side. Now Jiva Goswami, he deals with that and resolves the issue. He says sometimes Sridhar Swami, sometimes he gives an impersonalist explanation. And then Jiva Goswami said he does that as a strategy to bewilder the impersonalists. But actually, he's actually adhering to the personalist philosophy. And then Jiva Goswami in his commentary gives the personalist explanation on that verse. All right, Jiva Goswami can do that. He is Jiva Goswami. But we cannot. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, so as you know, like in the beginning, when you come, when you first come, then you think parampara is parampara. And, you know, from one generation to the next, there is no change. There is no change, but there's also personal contribution. And it's like, you look at Madhavacharya, and we are in the Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sampradaya, and you look at Madhavacharya, and you see some differences between Madhavacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there also are many points, the main points are all similar. But in Madhavacharya's philosophy, for example, Lakshmi is considered jiva tattva. And that is like, shakti tattva has been reduced to jiva tattva. That's a huge difference. But somehow or other, it is there. But on accepting this, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what is the position of the devotee, as eternal servant, what is the position of the scriptures? All these positions are completely the same. Right? And therefore, Baladev Vijayabhusan has written a book, The Nine Pramaya, based on the Nine Pramayas, known as Pramaya Ratnavali. He's taken the Nine Pramayas of Madhava, and he proves that the same Nine Pramayas, the same philosophical points, are also there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we begin to study the history of our Sampradaya, we see that sometimes there are some differences here and there. But not too much is made of that, because the essence, the very essence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is preserved there. But we are completely in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the one who really sets the standard for us. And then you get Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He begins to bring all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a shape that fits the modern world. He sets all kinds of practical standards for the modern world. And then Prabhupada, he adjusted to the Western world so that it's really available to everyone. So we see that the last three acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, they are reformers. And they are sometimes condemned by traditionalists in India. But they are reformers because they're making it available to modernity, to people in these modern times. So it's interesting when you study the history of the Sampradaya to see what is constant and to see what is changing, so that it can fit the changes in the times. And this is the art, to keep what to keep and what can be changed. And that is the business of an acharya. And Prabhupada did that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did that, Bhakti Vinod Thakur did that. And we can see Baladev Vijayabhusan did that. And Jiva Goswami did that. So we see that. But these are all our founding acharyas. And it's not our business to do any of that. Our business is to be faithful followers. Yeah.
I like how you say sometimes that the four books that we have, Letter of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are just like rice stuff, sabji, and chapatis. So if that's the case, then they'll just provide all the nutrition that we need.
Yeah. Well, I said all the other literature were the chutneys. So, you know, it was just rice, dal, sabji, chapati. Sometimes you want some chutney also. But if you eat only chutney, that will not be helpful. So the main staple diet is rice, dal, sabji, chapati, Bhagavad Gita, and nectar, devotion.
So sometimes we hear the audience give
commercial bhajans. Commercial bhajans. The guy with the electronic voice. Prabhupada wasn't recommending such things. You know, if you're faithful to Prabhupada, then you cannot really go before Prabhupada with an open heart. and you do that. And you can offer your flower and things very nice, but you're not really a follower of Prabhupada if you do that. And so I don't listen to it. Control, delete. Even if, you know, there is a little thing that slips in, it Prabhupada will not say, for that you must stay in the material world. No, I'm not giving you the mercy, if for the rest you're faithful to Prabhupada. That's it. But we should understand we're causing confusion if we're doing it, so it's not recommended. In the Gaudiya Math, you know, some devotees became very scholarly. And I just saw some books upstairs from a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Obiyal Kapoor, who became a scholar. I saw him lying around in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And his name was Adi Keshavadas. And he was an academic. His books are appreciated in academic circles, and it's fine. You know, but there was one thing, you know, one thing where you see, historically, when you start researching the Chaitanya biographies, then you're looking for, then you always see, and they were chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. It always said they were chanting Hari, Hari. It doesn't say, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. Yes. So, and then, like, yeah, some people start to question. So in scholarly circles and also in Bengal, right, this question comes up. Was Lord Chaitanya actually chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a regular sadhana? Or was he chanting other names of Krishna? Hari Murari Govinda Gopal Ananda. In the Indian community would like that a lot. They like all these bhajans with all the names, Jay. And just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So what is it now? So then we see that in that one thing that Obiyal Kapoor at one point started making the case that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Well, then he has gone a little bit far into his own academic opinion, and he's no longer like, then he's really acting as Obiyal Kapoor and no longer acting as Adi Keshavadas, the disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, what about this? Yes, well, we do find evidence in Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. We find evidence that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the full Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is a verse where he says he chanted Hare Krishna Neti. Niti means etc. Hare Krishna, etc. The full Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, and of course, iti sudasa kamnandam kali kalasanasanam. And then Hare, in the Kali Sandra Upanishad is also there. So evidence is there. But it is a point that came up. And if you want to read the books of Obiyal Kapoor, I have no objection, because there's a lot of information. But did you know this? And did you know that you have to read it with filters on? And do you have the filters? Do you have the extra knowledge so that you can pick out the details that are not completely in line with the Siddhanta of our journeys? And if you don't, then you might inadvertently pick up something that is not 100% a correct understanding. But I bought it in the gift shop. And that's how it goes. That's where you buy these things nowadays. You buy them in the gift shop. Oh, nice new book. And, yes, but therefore I'm saying it's chutney. Watch out with these chutneys. Some of these Papadams. So the rice does sabji chapati, the Bhagavad Gita nectar of devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, are our staple diet. And all these other books we read as expansions of that. And where they contradict what we find in these books, then we realize, ho, ho, ho. And therefore that reading those other books is really can be useful for trying to understand more about the background of the points of Bhagavatam. But we must be very careful with that. Manusamhita. You know, like India, the downfall of India is when India went to follow the Dharma Shastra. The Dharma Smriti, the Smriti Shastra, that's how we got the Smartas. Right. You know how strongly Srila Prabhupada speaks out against Smartas. Now, I did some research on the history of Smarta Brahmanism. And it is a fact that there were a few families from South India and a few families from Kashmir who were particularly expert in the Dharma Shastras. And these families, at one point, the South Indian community invited the Brahmanas from Kashmir to come to South India to strengthen their community, to strengthen their position. And then the Smartas became stronger. And then gradually the Smartas moved towards other areas of India and spread out and also went to Bengal. And then in Bengal we got the Smarta community, and they were concerned only with Karmakanda. And these Smarta Brahmanas, they were very rigid, very rigid. So everything was about the ritual. And this rigidity, this created like a whole atmosphere of Brahmanism in India. But everything was completely rigid. And it created so much caste consciousness, and that is what has destroyed Vedic culture in India. The result of this caste consciousness is that people have turned away from Vedic culture. We have enough of this. We don't want this anymore. That's what has killed it, actually, really. So it's very interesting. And so they are the Dharma Shastra is actually aparavidya, is secondary knowledge. It's upaveda. It is not principal transcendental knowledge. It's just supportive knowledge for social life. But they make this the all in all. And then you look at Manusamhita and you go and check out the Manusamhita for yourself, and you see that there sometimes are standards like if you want to read the Shastra, you have to fast and you have to get ready and this and that, do austerities, and then when a sudra walks past, you see a sudra as a Brahmana. You have to start again, you become contaminated. Again you have to fast. Again you have to, before you can read the Shastra. Yeah, some sudra comes. So that's why at one point the sudra said it was getting very uncomfortable because you need some sudras to clean, and then this sudra is coming past and then you have to fast again. So they made a system, a sudra had to ring a bell. So the sudras are coming, then we can close everything so we don't have to see him. Sudras coming, ringing a bell to collect all the garbage and all these things, whatever they do, the labor things. And then we don't have to see the sudra. Very good, then we do. And then, but then those same brahmanas who were like so rigid, so strict, they're also performing certain rituals where they eat flesh of animals. That's there in the same Manusamhita. So, and then we understand this. This is the lower, the lower platform. Yes. So we must understand very well the hierarchy of scriptures and You cannot just read here and there everywhere and start quoting left and right. Last night I was speaking about this Zakim Nayak, who is like a convert and has become a Muslim and is now attacking Hinduism sometimes, and then he just quotes from Manu Samhita a number of verses where meat eating is allowed. Yes, these are lower rituals for those who are trying to regulate sinful activities. This is the Pravriti mark, the path of gradual elevation, not the Nivriti mark, the path where you end material life. So you can see that, and then you find that in our scriptures, our acharyas, they quote from one book. They quote verses from a book. So then you think, oh, this must be a bona fide book, because they quote, oh, then I'm going to buy that book. Yes, Google it, you know, find the book and buy it, because the acharyas are quoting from it. No, they may quote some verses and accept those verses. It doesn't mean that they automatically accept the whole book. So maybe, but maybe not. So you cannot automatically assume that all the verses in that book then are okay. See, so it's like there's a whole... one has to really know his way around before you do read very broadly. Yeah. Then you have to have thorough knowledge. Yeah. Maybe, like now that I'm a sannyasi, yes, now I have more knowledge of these things, because the sannyasi is supposed to have the last answer, yeah, the final answer on the question. He's supposed to be an authority, so okay, research some things, but one must be careful in this matter, and thoroughly research and bring it all back to the Bhagavatam. That is our Siddhanta. We must see how it rhymes with our Siddhanta. Where it doesn't rhyme with our Siddhanta, we don't accept. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it has some verses in it that we don't accept. But it's compiled by Sanatana Goswami and Gopabhata Goswami, isn't it? Our Goswami, yes, but they wrote it for people of that time, and they put in some karmakanda things, and you can see it. It said in Kartik, if you do this vrat and that vrat, you get a long life, you get all these things. We don't do anything to get long life. That's not our business. We leave that up to Krishna. We do things to get pure bhakti, nothing else. That's what Bhagavatam says. You see, dharma brojita kaitava. Any ritual for long life is kaitava dharma, cheating religion. Cheating religion, you're cheating yourself. Jaya Jagadish Hare. Please let me live 100 years. Of what? What is the use of living 100 years if you don't have love of God? So you can see, matters of Siddhanta are fine matters, as you can see. And that's what I've tried to sketch in this lecture. And just to give you, I've quoted from here and there just to show you that there's a whole landscape out there, and that you cannot just blindly wander in there. You're going to fall in some pits there, and there are some snakes and crocodiles out there. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes, that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of speculation, which is filled with the crocodiles of various dangerous speculative theories. An innocent child, how can a child swim across an ocean? And then there is like crocodiles in that ocean. Oh my God, the little boy is going to swim across an ocean with crocodiles. I mean, how can he survive? Only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are spiritually innocent children. And you think, oh, it looks nice, nice book. Innocent child. That is not a nice book. Oh, innocent child. It's a crocodile! So, like this, we can appreciate that how simple it is to just take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books.
How nice it is. Really, if we can just trust them.
With that,
I will end because it's late. Thank you very, very much.